So today, whether you saw this or not, this is going to be kind of fun, this next segment, actually the next couple of segments. There's a new study released today by the Institute of Research and Socioeconomic Information that claims that tuition fees, now this is post-secondary education, no longer have a place as a method of financing universities. It makes the case for university education to be offered to Quebecers for free. And it goes through a whole, you know, litany of ideas and suggestions and theories of the fact that it's not going to cost that much. It represents such a tiny, tiny part of Quebec's budget. So why don't we make it free? And then it points to the case that many cities, many countries rather, already offer free university education, France being one of them. Others including Norway, Sweden, Argentina, Brazil, just to name a few. Free university education. Good idea? Bad idea? Let's try to find out. Vincent Geloso is a senior economist at the Montreal Economic Institute, has been following this study, and he's on the line right now. Mr. Geloso, thanks for being here.
It's a pleasure to be here.
So I said, you know, the theory laid out by the Institute shows that, you know what, it's really not going to be that big an imposition on the public or on the government. Why is this a good idea?
First of all, let's get the numbers straight. In their press release, they say 0.009% of the budget or 0.00009. They're off by either a factor of 100 or 1,000, depending on how many zeros. So I first and foremost, I don't trust their numbers just because they can't seem to get proportions into order. Number two is they don't understand economics. The fact of the matter is tuition fees are a trivial part of the cost of going to university. The true cost of going to universities is the number of years that you're not working. So technically, you could have a cheaper university if, say, the returns to going to university increase, because then you're not forsaking as much while not working because you know you're going to get more in the future. So weirdly enough, there's other ways you could actually make education cheaper without changing the price tag. The fact of the matter is when we look at other countries like the United States, and forget the mentions of Sweden and France that they point out, the United States, despite the heavy price tag that comes with it, has one of the highest participation rates in the world of people going to universities. Even if you account, like, this after accounting for people who are foreigners who come to the U.S., for Native Americans, for people who are born in the U.S., U.S.-born people, the participation rate is much above that of Quebec, despite the higher tuition fees, which suggests that what really matters isn't the price tag, it's how much you're giving up for what you're going to get in the future. That's okay. The true cost of education. They don't seem to be getting that.
Let me stop you for a second. I want to go back to something you just said, because I saw a story suggesting that's not, in fact, the case. There are 5 million fewer students attending U.S. universities this year than there were a couple of years ago. Now, I don't know that's because of the pandemic. Maybe that's because of the fact that tuition has skyrocketed in the U.S. It's so expensive now. But is it fair to compare, you know, a $50,000 U.S. college education with something that you would pay $3,000 or maybe $4,000 for in Quebec?
So let's get some numbers straight. If it's going down in the U.S., it doesn't mean that there's a proportion of people who are in age of going. The proportion is less than in Quebec. The fact of the matter is it's much higher in the United States. In fact, if you take like a very simple correlation of tuition fees and participation rate for a multiplicity of countries, you find very little relationship. The fact of the matter is what really seems to matter is the return on education.
Okay.
Since what really is the cost is how many years you won't be working. Because it's not just a question of the price tag, it's how long you won't be working and how much this is going to reward. So weirdly enough, things like how much you're going to be taxed in the future is going to reduce the returns to education. In a weird way, by doing this, you're actually increasing the cost to education because you're foregoing the jobs.
That doesn't make sense to me. Because to me, if more people are getting a higher level of education, they're getting better jobs, they're earning a better income, and that means they're going to pay more taxes. So wouldn't you want to make it all the more accessible so you have a better pool and more taxes being coming into the system?
Yes, but you have to consider something. When people make the decision of studying, they need to think that it's worth the return. If they know they're going to be taxed high, for example, they won't do it. They might choose lesser.
Well, hold on a sec. Are you suggesting that someone going into university is already thinking about how much they're going to be taxed when they get out of university? I can't imagine that's one of the considerations you make.
Actually, there is. Like, if you look at the peer-reviewed literature, there is a strong reaction to the net returns. People do consider the net returns. The fact of the matter is, net returns are a really, really big deal when people consider whether or not to go study. Because what's what is essentially, what are people making? They're making an investment in themselves, just as they could in a business. And when you're considering an investment that you're making into yourself, it has to pay off if you're going to undertake 3 or 4 years of not being able to work. And so people will respond to that.
Okay. And but that doesn't, again, it's not making
a very strong response.
It's actually, again, not making sense to me, though. So you're saying people don't want to put themselves into a higher tax bracket, and because of that, they'll forego having university education?
The answer we find is that, yes, to some degree, they do actually do this. We actually have very good empirical evidence that, especially for people who are risk averse, because you don't know if you're going to graduate. It's not a guarantee you'll graduate. So you're going to take a risk, and if you're going to take that risk, and there's a chance it won't pay off, then you're not going to make that investment.
Sure, but if you don't, if you take that risk, if the university was free, you're not risking spending the money you would have otherwise to get that education before you even graduate. So that's the other side of that.
That is correct. But what you're missing when this is mentioned is that the price tag itself is a very small share of the cost. The cost is not working for 3 or 4 years. And that is the true cost. And eliminating tuition fees doesn't solve that cost. It doesn't deal with that cost.
Although, again, to be fair,
there's two ways to make education cheaper. You either make it more profitable for people to invest in their education, which is one way, or you target people. You give them specialized aid, specialized funding to people who are more in need. So you allow funding to be targeted to lower income students, people from poor backgrounds. Mm-hmm. You give them grants. You give them guaranteed loans. Well, this is much more effective.
I don't understand it. But if you're doing that for those people, you're pulling those same people out of the labor force as well. So how does that even equate? You're talking about the fact that if you go to university, those are years lost that you're not working. And by the way, I would suggest there are a lot of kids who go to school who do,
work.
In fact, work.
I did. I certainly
so
did.
So that's not necessarily a starter for me. And then if you're going to give money to those, and I'm not saying we shouldn't, but I'm just saying if you're going to have an equal equation here, if I'm paying you to go to school and your argument is, you know, by going to school, you're out of the labor market, that's a bad thing. You're doing the exact same thing by providing these people money, so they're not going to be in the labor market. So how do you make that work?
I think you're confusing the cost. You seem to be talking about a cost to society, whereas I'm talking to a cost to an individual. When an individual decides whether or not to apply to college, he has to think that he won't be able to work full-time as well, or if he does work full-time, that he is going to impact his chances of actually graduating. It's the cost to him that matters. He needs to consider the long-term benefits. And what I'm telling you is that the real cost is not working for a certain period of time for that person. The tuition fees do come in to some degree, but it's not the most important degree. It's a second order consideration. The biggest consideration is not having a steady stream of income for 3 or 4 years. So how do you finance your consumption for 3 or 4 years? How do you get to pay rent or stuff like that? That is probably like the reason why we find that when you look at the literature in economics, people don't respond that strongly to changes in tuition fees, but they do respond quite well to greater offering of credit. So if you reduce the cost of accessing credit, for example, for them, the effect is stronger. If you increase the returns to education, the effect is stronger. So what people do consider is the cost of not being able to work for some period of time and the risks that are associated with making that investment. That's why economists call education a human capital investment.
Okay, we're both sitting
here
still kind of confused.
So then just bringing it back to the tuition again, do you think tuition levels should stay the same, they should be higher, they should be lower, or they should be free?
I think that the best policy possible is to liberalize tuition fees, let them go at the market level, let universities offer tuition fees that are lower because this is something that people don't notice in the United States. We actually, like here at George Mason University where I'm at in the United States, we offer full rides to students who are from poorer background. And when I say full ride, it's not only do we pay, for example, their tuition fees, we also give them a stipend to live while they're doing like their graduate studies or master's studies. So we actually do give things like this to people from poorer background because we want them to proceed and to make our institution look better. But we also, for people who can pay, we actually make them pay full price tag. And what happens in situations like that is that the university is actually trying to target people according to their ability to pay. And if you do that, A, you get more flexibility in pricing. And then if you complement that with a government program that actually targets funding for people from poor backgrounds.
Okay.
And this, I mean, like what we call des bourses in French. That would be grants and guaranteed loans to students from poor backgrounds. It's going to be much cheaper to get people to go to university in that case than doing the tuition fees for free, because you're tackling the true cost of education.
So we're almost out of time. I did want to ask you one last thing. As I hear you say this about grants and, you know, bursaries, we already have systems like that in place. You're just saying we should do this on a much wider scale. Is that the suggestion?
I'd be quite amenable, and you would have, you'd be hard pressed to find economists who are not favorable to the idea that you should ramp up programs like grants or
bursaries, et cetera.
Guaranteed loans for students.
Got it.
But you will find a little support for free tuition fees because it's not targeting the true cost of education.
I thank you so much for your time today. I very much appreciate it.
It's a pleasure to be here.
Thank you. Thank Vincent Geloso, senior economist. I think he said he was at George Mason University in the U.S., but he's on the Montreal Economic Institute, or with the Montreal Economic Institute.